Hey guys, it's Jimmy. Before Never Not Funny really kicks into gear, I want to tell you about Babbel. Babbel is the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Why waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language? Babbel has quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. That's less than a month if I'm doing my calendar math correctly. Babbel is designed by real people for real conversations. This thing's a piece of cake. It's a breeze. And right now, for listeners of Never Not Funny, they've got a great deal. You can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription. But again, that's only for listeners of Never Not Funny at Babbel.com/Pardo. That's right. Gets up to 60% off. That's more than a Hagar. That's more than the double nickel. Get up to 60% off at Babbel.com/Pardo. That is spelled Babbel.com/Pardo. Rules and restrictions apply. Use Babbel. By the time I'm done reading this, you'll know how to speak a new language. Babbel, a better way to learn a new language.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Please don't take this personal. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way, 'cause it's been one of those days.
Who is Jimmy Pardo? Guess again. Here he is. And I do the horns.
You're the one yelling, Jimmy.
Yeehaw! Let's have some maple syrup.
Yep.
Oh, man.
See? I know what I'm doing and I know how to catch it. Man,
live on tape, it's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
Hello, everybody. Indeed, yes, welcome to the program, episode 2806, I want to say. Is that accurate? Did I get anywhere near the number?
Nailed it.
I got it. I'm a winner today. Winner right in this area here. Let's have dinner. Now, listen, here's the deal. We're on vacation this week. That's the premise. We are on vacation, but we still wanted to put out a few some episodes. So this will be a little shorter episode. Kind of a gang adjacent episode. We got Paul Gilmartin joining us in a little bit. So it'll be a little bit shorter. The premise is we have not taken any time off in a year. We usually take a vacation in July or whatever, but we did not because of the pandemic. And we said, let's just keep rolling through it. There's times where people need to recharge the batteries. So that's what we're doing here. I, of course, will be sitting around doing nothing, bored out of my goddamn skull, wishing that we were doing live shows. While the other guys who do more of the technical side of it will take the welcome relief. Garen will be doing less than he usually does. So everybody's got a plan, is my point.
That's interesting, because I thought the purpose of this was to clear your mind of how sick you are of our bullshit.
Listen, that is always on the table. That is always,
it's a give and take. It's like you will be bored and have nothing to do, and yet you won't have to put up with our bullshit for 1 week. So that's nice.
It'll be, well, listen, there's no question that we're probably going to have to interact at some point, or we're going to get some sort of last minute email saying, please, we need these ads by 3 o'clock, and right, you're going to be you'll be in some sort of a log cabin recording. Whatever you're doing, I don't know what weird tenting you're going to do.
Just not none of that.
none of that. Just again, just getting away from you three assholes for a week is all we're doing. Mm-hmm. What I will be doing is prepping. I have two at the end of this week that we're the week that this episode will air. I have two fantasy baseball drafts. Mm-hmm. And so I will be prepping for those two. On the other side of it, we're coming off of the Never Not Funny draft. It happened a few days ago based on this episode getting released. So that is fun. I'm in another league, by the way. That one that I mentioned, I joined it when I started at Conan. Mm-hmm. It was a Conan league. It's called the Hiatus League. It's a group of guys that started it during when they were... They all worked together at Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And during a hiatus, they decided to start a fantasy baseball league. And then as time... as all fantasy baseball leagues. People leave and come in and so on and so forth. So they had an opening, I think, in 2010 or 11. J.P. Buck, who's the talent booker over there at Conan, asked me if I'd be interested. I joined. It's a head-to-head league, which I don't care for. I think it's that's the amateur way to play fantasy baseball. And my goal was to always, I always was, as soon as I win, I'm out. I just want to prove to these motherfuckers that I could beat them, and then I will leave. So last year, it was only a 60-game thing, and we went to, instead of head-to-head, we went to the standard roto. I'm not going to bore everybody with what that means, but we went to the standard real way, the way that men play fantasy baseball. And who won? I did. I crushed everybody. I crushed everybody. Oh, wow. I mean, and by the way, I didn't win. I crushed, like in a way that's bananas how much I destroyed. Some could argue that some guys didn't weren't all that interested because it was a COVID season, and some guys didn't really participate, maybe. That's possible. But anyway, I won. And then I was like, well, I can't just do what I wanted to do and say, F you, I'm leaving, because I got to defend my title. I at least have to do that. And the whole reason I bring this up is poor J.P. Buck is trying to coordinate 12 people to get together for not a full draft online, which my other, by the way, the other three leagues I'm in, we do an online draft that two of them take 10 hours. And one of them will take about 5 hours. And somehow, miraculously, those 12 dudes are able to find the time to figure out when to do that. J.P. Buck, apparently these guys are the busiest fucking human beings on the planet. And he's given, hey, in the next 2 weeks, what are your avails? And he put together a nice grid, a nice chart. And he's keeping everybody, okay, on a particular day, looking good, not looking good, after 4 o'clock possible, before three possible. Like, he's doing all this stuff because everybody is throwing him unnecessary curveballs. And one, I don't even know who this guy is. So if he listens to the show, I don't know. And if he does, he's going to hear this. One dickhead, on a day that it looks like it is possible to be available, he goes, I'm open, but I'd rather be watching golf. Then get the fuck out of the league. Pick rocks, you prick.
And how long does this league need?
Oh, and to your point, Matt, this league is only going to draft the first 5 rounds via Zoom, 2 hours.
Okay.
You need 2 hours. That's all you need. And poor J.P. Buck put this out a week ago, and it's now 7 days later, and one team hasn't even answered him yet. And it's like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Answer this guy. Give this guy a fucking break. It's so, and I know what it's like. I know what it's like to book this show and people email or not emailing back. I know what it's like to coordinate those two of the fantasy leagues. It's tough.
If I were you, Jimmy, I think this is the perfect opportunity because it sounds like it's on the brink anyway. You need to jump in and say, hey, guys, is this league over? Is this just done? It seems like people don't have time for it anymore. And then that way you go out on top.
Oh, I go, you know what? I'm a winner. And I keep the,
and you don't,
I
get a little... you don't have to quit either. Cause you're like, I'm willing to do it. It just seems like a lot of you aren't able to do it anymore. Let's just wrap it up. This is it. I'll keep the crown and I'll see you guys later.
You know what? That's not a bad idea. I will, text to JP. I thought about texting that in such a way, like JP, is it possible this thing's done? Like, are these guys
sounds like
out?
Right.
And, but then there's other people that like me, there's a couple guys that respond right away that, it just, again, I say this as a guy that has to coordinate things. I feel so badly for because JP Buck has a job and a baby and he's got things to do. Be a fucking good person and respond to this guy's emails. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Have
so
respect.
Yeah.
It's about goddamn respect, gentlemen.
Sorry. All I can do is apologize. I just really wanted to watch golf that day.
Also, I don't, maybe, is that the Masters? I don't even think it's the Masters. I don't know what golf is so important.
You're the golf guy.
I mean,
if you don't know what it is, then it's obviously not that big.
The Masters are in April, so it can't even be the Masters. So, like, and if you're so out, if you're so disinterested in the draft of your fantasy baseball league that you'd rather watch golf, then scram. You're done.
Yeah.
Beat it.
Beat it.
Michael Jackson, his mother. By the way, Matt Belknap, how infuriating is it when you're watching 80s videos on Pluto and a Michael Jackson video pops up? I can't get to that thing quick enough. You know what happened yesterday? As I talk about without taking a breath, I'm watching 80s and Beat It shows up and I go, you know what? Fuck this. Pop over to 70s, Jackson 5 video. God damn it.
I don't think I've encountered a Michael Jackson. I've seen a lot of Janet Jackson videos for some reason. I saw Black Cat the other night.
Is that on 90s?
Yeah. Black Cat is 90s, but and also That's the Way Love Goes. Yeah, so maybe that's why I'm seeing her. I don't think I've seen any of her 80s videos now that I think about it. It's all the She's big on 90s. She's all over 90s. Fun thing about That's the Way Love Goes. I don't know if you guys remember that. The lead-off single from the album Janet, which is
You mean the
smash.
The post-orgy lounge-around video?
Yeah, just a bunch of people hanging out very sexily. Like, it just... either they just fucked or they're about to fuck, but they're in no hurry to get to it. It's very strange. But
confident.
I think we probably knew this at some point in time, but I had forgotten it. If you watch that video, a very young, not yet famous Jennifer Lopez in the crew. Oh,
I don't think I knew that. Yeah. I think that's new information for James Ronald Pardo Jr.
I think she was a backup dancer for Janet at the time.
And I believe it.
It's all the people in there is just like her band and her. Or maybe there's some models thrown in there too, but it's a lot of her backup singers and dancers and band in the crew.
By the way, speaking of Jennifer Lopez, Oliver's new running joke is whenever we put the Fire Stick on, that's our streaming service of choice.
Yeah.
And there's a commercial or an ad that will pop up that some, I don't know if it's Discovery, I don't know what channel it is, but tune in for a live Q&A with J-Lo. And so every time that ad pops up, Oliver's like, we're going to watch that today, Dad? Is today the day we watch that? Like, I'm ruining his own joke by mangling the delivery, but it's funny every time.
Yeah. Well,
because we're not going to watch that. That's the premise.
I'm just the frustrating thing is if you watched it, the ad would not go away, because if it did, you might be inclined to just put it on just to make it go away. But you know, it's not going to. It's just going to stay.
Yeah. There. And by the way, ad's the wrong word. It's, you know, it's one of those things where they tell you what shows are available.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, it's not going to go away.
I've been thinking about this a little recently, which is that we have the technology for advertisers to actually know who we are. We know they're anonymously tracking what we want and don't want. Why don't we just make that deal open and say, hey, what would you like advertisements of? Give me a list of things you'd like to see me advertise.
Well, Elliot, to you. That's what we do here at Never Not Funny LLC. We put out a survey. We want to know what you are interested in so that you hear commercials that interest you.
And sometimes I feel like you see that question pop up on YouTube or on the internet at large somehow. They want to get to know you, and it doesn't seem to pan out.
Specific to you.
Right.
I should have a list, and they should say, we want to advertise the following things. Which of these things would you like to hear about?
But here's the
thing. I should be able to click and say, yes, please, this.
I feel like I'm on both sides of it in some ways, but I do think that you often see an ad for something you didn't know existed that you're like, oh, that's cool, I'm interested in that. But you wouldn't have signed up for it.
By the way, to that point, Matt Belknap, and I'm hoping that they become a sponsor one day. I bought a thing called the Roto Reliever, Rotator Reliever.
Oh.
And it's a device to strengthen your rotator cuff, the muscle around your rotator cuff.
Hmm.
And that ad popped up because I was doing more, you know, stuff, research about my arm. That ad popped up. Hang on, I got incoming. Hang on, I'm in Vietnam.
Is that you? Yeah, I didn't know who that was.
Hang on, guys, I got incoming.
Duck, right, Jimmy, duck.
Oh my God, it is a military helicopter. So my Vietnam joke, it works.
you're living that
meme.
All
right, it's going out over the ocean.
Two rotor or one rotor?
Rotato reliever.
I think he was talking about the helicopter.
Oh, I don't know. I don't give a fuck. I don't know anything about it. Anyway, that ad popped up. Mm-hmm. I did further research. I purchased it. And this thing's a miracle worker. It is. I'm not kidding. It is a miracle worker for my arm.
Nice.
And I wrote them so the gentleman there recognized my name. And so there's a chance that they could be advertising. But,
nice.
but I'm bringing it up now in case that never happens. In that I saw that ad because it popped up. Because it did find my interests, and I did not know about it. And had I not, had it not, I would still be in pain, wondering why the fuck I, when am I going to get surgery? So,
well, but that one, it came up because you were looking at stuff. So it was kind of related to you. But if you had been given a thing saying, would you like to, you know, here's a group of things, or type in a thing of the type of stuff you'd like to be advertised to, you might've come up with it. What I'm talking about though is,
I understand.
I get McDonald's ads in Croatian for some reason. I have no idea.
Because you Googled
happening.
Something. You Google Croatian Mac.
But I should be able to say, hey, I don't speak Croatian.
Not for me.
And I'm not trying to learn it.
But won't that drop off eventually? Like, you know, I'll look at something too. I'll look at artificial grass. And then for a week and a half, I get nothing but artificial grass ads. And then it disappears. And then it's back to this vinyl. So it's back to whatever it is. So, right? Doesn't it kind of do that for you, Elliot, where you don't
have but if it had a list of the things, like, you've been looking at these things, we're going to send you ads for this, and I could go, actually, no, I don't want any ads for that because I just looked at it once, and you can save your time and get better ads to me for things that I am interested in.
I mean, somebody makes less money when you do that, so that's the answer. If you're looking for an answer as to why that's not available.
Well, no, because on YouTube especially, whatever ad runs, the person gets paid.
I know.
The person selling the ad, posting the ad doesn't want to show me an ad that I'm not going to buy their thing that I know already I don't want to buy it.
But on some level, there are advertisers that are that granular, and then there's advertisers who just want the numbers. You're just a number to them, and somebody's selling something, and you're what they're selling. And if you take yourself out of the pool, then... you know, it's one less person they can sell.
One less thing to worry about. Let me ask you a question. You guys probably know this more than I would. I'm watching YouTube, example, and it starts with a commercial that says you can skip this after 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. I, of course, do that every single time, as I assume everybody does.
Yeah.
Let's pretend that ad is for RC Cola. Does RC Cola still get money for that ad running, even though it was only 4.5 seconds?
It would be the other way around. RC Cola is paying for it.
Right. Okay. So there we go. So if I'm watching a game show and the person uploaded that, does that person still get the money, even though if somebody bails on it after 5 seconds?
I've done the research, and you have to watch at least 30 seconds of a commercial for the YouTuber to get the benefit of the advertisement.
Wow.
But I bet YouTube gets a little bit of money, probably not as much, but they'll get something for the 5 seconds, and then they'll get more for the full.
I see.
And then but now for an unskippable one, I don't think the length matters. So
if I'm watching something on my friend John Ritchie Jr.'s, if I'm watching a game show there, it would benefit him if I would just deal with the commercial for 30 seconds.
If he's monetizing,
Okay. All right. Good to know. I guess what I'm saying is, if you're watching Jimmy's Records and Tapes, should they be watching those commercials?
I can't even remember to not skip on our own videos. I still skip because it's like instinct.
Yeah. And I make them skippable. I could make them non-skippable, but I choose to make them skippable for the benefit of the viewer.
You got to give them that option, because if you don't, it's infuriating.
Yeah.
The one thing I can't do, though, YouTube has changed a thing, and now every video that you upload requires a post-roll video, a post-roll ad. But I don't think that interferes with the content. I think it just comes up if you leave it going, so I guess it's no harm, no foul, but I don't like those to be there.
What I don't like is this new thing where it's like there's a 5 second unskippable, and then there's a 30 second that you can only skip after five. So it's like you're used to hovering over the button, and you're like, here we go. And then it's like, nope, that's just the first of two. Now I know we are a show that people probably heard two pre-rolls before this podcast started. So maybe I'm a hypocrite, but
again, we do it entertainingly.
Hopefully. Some of them are programmatic, so maybe it's just a...
Those are also entertaining, if not informative and educational.
Hopefully they're short, if nothing else.
I stand by what I've said many times on this program over the years. If YouTube, if it was just across the board, a 5 to 10 second opening commercial ad that you couldn't skip, I'd be okay with it. If it just was a quick little splash and done... Great. It's when they're 30 seconds and I can't forward, that is infuriating.
Mm-hmm. And I've told you about the ones that I've accidentally come across, and I've seen other people talk about, where it's an entire episode of something and you can't skip.
Right. Yeah.
Or somebody posted a thing. It was like 6 hours or 8 hours of an unskippable piece of content before something. I don't know how you end up watching something that has that. I've never encountered that, but I've encountered the 30-minute ones.
Does it concern you guys that Garen's suspiciously quiet through this whole conversation? Is he? Are you spying for Facebook? What are you doing?
Because I'm waiting for the moment where I can actually ask you about this rotator reliever thing. But I don't. You guys are saying everything I would. I don't have anything to contribute because you're saying exactly what I would say. This exact same situation. I skip what I think to skip. Otherwise, I let it go.
So therefore, proving what the people are saying on the internet, we could let you go and it wouldn't affect this show.
When you're discussing YouTube ads, probably okay, yes. But any other aspect,
you've just written your own pink slip. No.
Yeah, it sounds like Garen is skippable. Maybe we should just click on his face and you see if he goes away.
That's very specific, and I'm on board for it. Nobody saw that.
It works that way.
What are you doing? Stop with the fucking charades.
I was trying to skip Garen.
But you understand, once again, it's distracting. The listener and the viewer hate it.
They hate it.
You're doing a fucking thing in your square.
I have an idea for Elliot. He's a video guy. He's learned his way around the publishing on YouTube. Maybe you should start a your own mime channel.
Not a bad idea.
Just person on TV doing things.
Get it all out. Just get all your silent film comedy out of your system before you come here.
We can't get back in the studio long enough so I can get you behind that fucking panel again so I don't have to see that bullshit. It's been happening for 10 years.
He's still doing it. We just don't have to see it.
Right. That's the difference.
I'm actually shocked he hasn't put some kind of a facade up that looks like that already.
Oh, did he do that?
I did that at one point.
Yeah.
Early on, I had that, and then I was told, all right, fine, don't do that.
Yeah, you know what? Let's go. Do you still have that available? Let's maybe go back to that. I like the idea of that. Now that have you go back to being Wilson from Home Improvement. I just see your eyebrows back to the old days where, oh, Elliot has something to say. His eyebrows just made a move. He just grouchoed. That's going to be a...
future. We've talked about that show recently and how I never watched it. I saw moments of it. And honestly, even if the rest of the show was brilliant, that's a deal breaker for me. It's so frustrating when they're kind of showing someone, but not fully showing them. It's like, just show them or don't show them.
No, that's the fun. That's the running joke, Matt. Never see the guy. You never see him.
Well, no, that's fun when it's, George Wendt's wife on Cheers or whatever. What was her name?
Oh, I don't think it's fun at all, by the way. I'm being sarcastic.
No, but I accept it as a trope when it's an off-screen person and the joke is you never see them. They're just referred to. But when you're like the times that I flip to it, it just looked like a mistake almost. It was just like, man, move the fucking camera. I can't see this guy's full face. Because you could see like half of it.
Yeah, that's the premise. It's like a Kilroy.
Hate it.
It's also because he never sees him either. Like Tim never sees Wilson either. So he's always trying to see him.
Oh, really?
Which I always thought was funny. Like he's never seen him either.
So it became a thing where he was us. He was living our nightmare of not being able to get the satisfaction.
Well, the only difference is he's walking away with millions of dollars.
That's true.
How about knock on his front door?
You know?
I think they may have done that once and he had like a little peephole that he slid halfway down or something.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. They did try to keep the joke going.
Yeah. He would show up at the tool shop, at the hardware store sometimes, and he'd be behind rack
some
of
shelves.
Tools.
Imagine
something.
How much they would have loved this pandemic. They could have put all different kinds of
Wilson
masks.
Could have been out and about.
Yeah. Finally, he can roam freely.
All right. Listen, let's. By the way, you brought up George Wendt. We watched a Columbo last night from the 90s. They're the only ones that we have left. We have like three of the 90s Columbos left, which are not anywhere near as good as the one from the 70s. I mean, just not even close. The writers didn't understand the premise of the program. But George Wendt was the killer. That's not a giveaway. It's the premise of the thing. You know who the killer is immediately. And true to George Wendt form, awful. Awful. Boring. Bland. You know, it literally can't go toe-to-toe with Peter Falk. Like, just too... One guy, a brilliant actor, and the other guy getting by on one role, and great, lucky that he ever got it.
He was perfectly cast though on Cheers. Like that's the secret is that they saw him, they read his energy correctly and said this is what we want for this, and it worked brilliantly. And the show the great there was such great writing on Cheers that it's like almost impossible to fuck it up. And but yeah, I don't know. I'll take your word for it, because I don't know if I've seen enough to say for sure that he's just a bad actor. But I will say, you can't see him as anything else, regardless of whether he's good or not. You can't look at him and not think of Norm.
Yeah, he's certainly pigeonholed into that role. But yeah, remember, maybe you didn't watch it, Matt, with your kids. I think it was Santa Paws or whatever it was called, where he plays Santa Claus. And I think the guy at my local mall could have done a better job. Like, he is just, he just isn't a good actor. But yeah, he delivers, right, as Danielle pointed out on Cheers, he delivers, he knows how to deliver a one-liner, and he's and he's great at it. So
he, I thought of something that ties back into what we were talking about before. I did see him recently in another role, which was abusive father in the Black or White video.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
At the beginning, there's a little, by the way, I told Tony Thaxton this. I'm about maybe 2 weeks away from going back to school and writing a dissertation on the intro, like music videos that have non-musical intro scenes. It's like a fascinating thing that is almost never done well. They're almost always terrible. Just the acting's bad. Everything about them is bad. But it's so crazy to watch ones that you forgot existed, or ones that they never showed because it was just like they just went right to the song part. But in Black or White, which I think the full version is like 15 minutes long of the full video, but that part of it is Macaulay Culkin rocking out in his room listening to some rock and roll music, as kids are wont to do. And his dad's downstairs trying to watch the sports game, and comes up and says, "Turn that down!" And you just get a window into, you know, the abuse that Michael Jackson must have suffered to constantly be working that plot line into everything that he made. But yeah, he's convincing as an asshole. I bought it. I was on board.
Well, I tell you where he was not convincing as an asshole was on Columbo last night. You got to be an asshole when you're the bad guy in Columbo. That's the premise. You kind of got to be and he's just soft. He's just soft and weak. He's an actor.
Another thing about those videos, maybe we could play this with Paul, actually, but weird cameos. Who do you remember who was in the Round and Round video? Rats Round and Round? What celebrity cameo?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Tevin Campbell's Round and Round video.
No, I don't know if any cameos appear in that video.
Isn't Prince in it?
In Rat? The Rat video?
No, the other one.
Maybe. Teddy. He might, yeah, because maybe he wrote that song. I don't know.
Yeah, it was Graffiti Bridge or something. Maybe that's what, I don't know. But go back. We talk about Rat.
Hang on a second. Prince was in the Graffiti Bridge video?
How'd they get him? This is the weirdest cameo I think ever.
Give me the initials, and then we have to take a break.
It's he shares my initials, MB.
MB. Is it Michael Bolton?
No.
Is it...
he has nothing to do with music. I will give you
that. Mayim Bialik.
No.
Donald Trump.
Modeled Bump.
Modeled, yeah. Brump. MB. Mick. Is it Chicago comedian Mick Betancourt?
No, but you're getting into the right career, at least the right industry.
He's a writer, this guy?
No, he's a comedian.
Oh, he's a comedian. MB comedian. Mike Binder?
Matt Pronger.
Yeah, it's Matt Pronger.
As a child.
Not even more old Matt Pronger. It's not, what did you say, Mick? What was your?
I said Mike Binder.
It's not Mike Binder, no. This guy's a huge star. Is like super, super famous, but it's just so random.
Comedian with the initials MB, who's a big star.
Legend.
Mike Birbiglia?
Legend. No. Legendary.
A legend, you're saying?
Yeah.
If Matt Bronger would be too young,
yeah.
Birbiglia is at least around the same age.
Michael, one or two. Is it Michael?
No.
Is it Matthew?
No.
I think I have
Mark.
Nope. It is a weird old-fashioned name.
Micah?
Nope.
Malachi?
The guy from what's the guy from Dick Van Dyke?
Maury Amsterdam.
That's the wrong. I knew it started with an M.
No.
Matt, I think you just have to tell us.
Yeah.
He had one of the biggest dicks in the business, Milton Berle.
Oh, Milton Berle. Oh,
yes, of course. I did know that. Yes, yeah. I could not. I just didn't remember that. Yes, he's in that, and I don't like that he's in that. It's weird.
It's weird and unnecessary. It doesn't. It's not exciting. I don't know who it was for. He doesn't do anything. Like, it's just completely worthless.
Oh, but then he goes round and round. Comes around, comes around, and hang around. All right, listen, Paul Gilmartin's going to be joining us. I got Oliver's trivia question, and we'll talk with about that and a whole lot more when we come back with Paul Gilmartin right after this. Matt and I have spoken ad nauseum about how much we love Factor. Elliot Hochberg as well has. Mm-hmm. In fact, Garen just recently had an order from Factor, and he won't shut up about the meals.
They're delicious. What's not to like?
Garen, I think, specifically had the garlic chicken, mm-hmm. and he talked highly about the garlic chicken.
I had that last week, too.
You know what I have on the reg? I get the shredded chicken taco bowl.
Oh, that's good stuff.
I love it.
Yeah.
Delicious. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. They got about a weekly menu of about 35 options. They got Calorie Smart. They got Keto. They got Protein Plus. They got Vegan. They got Veggie. Right? They got breakfast as well. They got on-the-go lunch, snacks, beverages, anything you need to stay fueled.
Smoothies.
They got smoothies. And they've also got those wellness shots.
Yeah.
Shots meaning like a shot of liquid, not a shot where you're going to get an injection.
Right.
Listen, the meals are, there's not been a miss.
Yeah, it's incredible. They know what they're doing over there. Every meal they make is delicious.
And it is fantastic. And right now, here's what you do, guys. Go to factormeals.com/Pardo50 and use code Pardo50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
50.
That is code Pardo50 at factormeals.com/Pardo50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Belknap supports Factor. Hochberg supports Factor. Cockrell supports Factor. Pardo won't shut up about Factor. Factormeals.com/Pardo50. Get on board. Get on the Factor train. Factor.
Eat better now.
Hey, we're very lucky here at Never Not Funny to have a lot of sponsors. One of them is ZipRecruiter. Right now, if you go to ZipRecruiter.com/Pardo, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. They got a lot of different ways that you could do that. It's about hiring, Matt.
If you're in the business of hiring, which hopefully that's not your entire business, that would be a weird business. Like, hopefully
that'd be a headhunter, right? No, yeah. A headhunter helps people that are hiring.
Right.
So in a way, they're hiring.
Yeah, but your business probably does something else. Like you make widgets or what, you know, whatever you're doing. And sometimes you need to hire a new person, and it's kind of like a chore, and it takes you away from the stuff that you need to be doing to help your business. ZipRecruiter takes that off your plate so that you can focus on the stuff that matters and just let them do their job so that you can do yours.
Right. Clean your plate, my mother used to always say. My mother said that zero times, by the way. I don't think my mother ever said that.
My mom always said it.
My mother didn't have to tell me because I cleaned my plate instantly. Mm-hmm. Hey, amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free, ZipRecruiter.com/Pardo. Once again, I've said it before, I said it at the top of this ad, I'm going to say it now at the bottom of the ad. ZipRecruiter.com/Pardo, and you get to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter,
the smartest way to hire.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the program, episode 2806, the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. You know that. Nobody just, you know what you're listening to. Nobody jumps into a podcast halfway through, or I don't have to reset like we're a morning zoo. Anyway, Paul Gilmartin is joining us. Now, this is exciting. I believe that Paul is our first Zoom returnee. I think he's the first one to show back up here. Via Zoom, right? Is that possible?
I'm confused. Are you calling me the virus?
Yes. I'm okay. Also calling you the breeze.
I think you're actually you're one of the variants. You know, they're talking about how like the virus keeps mutating. You're like a mutation that we've just picked up.
You know,
I've always had a little bit of a mutation quality to me.
And now the COVID has hit you badly, right? You've lost all your hair because of it. It affects everybody differently.
I have. I've lost not only all my hair, but my dignity. I'm not sure how that happened scientifically.
I don't know how it happened either. Now, here's the beauty of that. When you were on with us, and it was, I believe it was in the beginning of the pandemic. It was very early on.
Yes.
And you were wearing a baseball cap, and you said, "Jimmy, look what I've done." And you took your hat off to reveal your bald head.
Yes.
You've now embraced it, and this is who you are, it appears.
I think until I feel safe going to get a haircut at the barbershop, that's not entirely true. I'm playing hockey twice a week without a mask. So if I was really that worried about it, I think I just kind of enjoy not paying for a haircut and just going in the backyard and zip zip.
You know what? I agree with that. I'm enjoying the savings of not getting a haircut for a year.
How is your hair looking so good without a barber?
I don't know. I do it myself. And, you know, I use the clippers and I get in there. I did this yesterday. Yesterday, I gave myself a little trim and I got a very important photo shoot on Saturday. And then I have Danielle do the neck. I have Danielle do the neck and the back and then a little bit to blend it up. But otherwise, yeah. I do it all myself.
So I may never go back. What do you go on the top?
This is like a three, four, and then a five through here. Sometimes five with that little thing where, you know, how you can adjust it on the clippers to make it a little shorter. Sometimes I get in there with the five to make it.
Yeah, it looks good.
Thank you. I don't disagree. I told the story the other day, Paul. I went in for an epidural for my lower back last week. And,
are you having a baby?
Yes. And we don't know the gender. Please respect our privacy on that aspect.
Normally ass babies are male. I'm Paul Gilmartin. This is episode 2806.
thank you for your time. As I was saying, Paul, before you decided to wedge that humor into the mix, I was laying on the bed, and the nurse commented on my, as I was putting the hairnet on, she commented on my haircut, and I said I did it myself, and she then called two other nurses over to point out how great my haircut was, and I won't stop talking about that till the day I die, because if nurses are complimenting you, you know that's a good set of hair. They've seen more heads than anybody else.
How are you feeling?
I'm okay. I've had a few days of goodness.
Good.
Of no pain in my lower back and no pain in my rotator cuff. So it's or my neck, all the three places that I've gotten epidurals and PRP injection, anywhere that's had a needle. I've had a good run of about 4 or 5 days here.
I like that 10, 15 years ago, it was, hey, when's your Comedy Central special air? And now it's, the arthritis is moved from the neck to the shoulder.
It's
what's the point? What is the point? Is there a towel that we can literally throw in?
I feel like I did that years ago. Other than this podcast, I think I went to every network in this town, and there's a towel laying in front of that door. They don't know why it's there. But then one person saw me throw it and went, sir, we made that decision. You don't get to tap out. We've decided on your behalf years ago. How are you feeling, Paul Gilmartin?
Kind of goes day by day. I'm still weeding out what foods it is that's contributing to the, I'm not sure if it's rheumatoid arthritis or psoriatic, arthritis. So, still kind of in investigating that, and essentially have eliminated any food that I enjoy.
You can't. They say your diet will help with arthritis. That's the premise here. So
huge,
you can't have
huge effect.
Give me an example of what you used to have that you can't have anymore.
Bread, pizza.
I would imagine pasta falls under this.
Oh yeah, pasta. Anything with gluten in it. Anything sweet. No animal protein.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The hell's left?
It goes on and on.
Are you able to eat anything?
Yeah, no kidding. What do you have? A carrot?
Vegetables. I just found out that I can eat polenta, and I did a little dance around my house when I found that out. Found out to cook polenta, you need to stand and stir it for 20 minutes straight without stopping. So
is that good for the arthritis? It sounds like that's counterintuitive.
Kind of defeats the purpose.
It keeps me from having to go to the gym. So that's nice. But I'm finding that my body is adjusting, and it actually helps my mood. So there are some positives to it. I've for a long time wanted to cut animal protein out of my diet. I can't eat fish, which is nice. But it's a big adjustment.
All right, well, that's Paul Gilmartin on Health Talk. We covered that, and we bring him on twice a year to discuss his ailments, and this seems to be the latest of them. And in a week and a half, it'll be, hey, remember that thing about arthritis? Turns out it was a misdiagnosis. I'm back eating pizza every 42 hours. So I take all of this with a grain of salt. I think Paul's fine, and he's making this up because he's a hypochondriac. Now, listen, that's my own personal thing. The listener doesn't have to worry about this. Tell us more about this hockey. When you say you're not wearing a mask, do you mean like a medical one, or are you even, what about a mask so you don't get a puck in the face?
No, I would never play hockey without a mask. I've taken so many sticks in the cage and pucks in the cage, and I've seen some horrifying things. I've seen a guy take a puck in the mouth and swallow six teeth.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Why would you not wear a, is it one of those things, not unlike the people that don't want to wear a mask, a medical mask during this COVID, that they don't think it makes them, that they look weak, they don't look masculine. Is it the same with the hockey guy that refuses to wear that mask?
There might be some, they probably wouldn't admit it, but you do see the ice much better when you don't have a visor or a cage. The problems with visors, you can see certainly better than a cage, but visors have a tendency to fog up. So that's kind of the issue with them. But
if everybody's wearing it, like, let's say it's required, isn't then everybody on the same playing field if everybody's having the same difficulty seeing the ice or not?
Yeah. And the NHL now, they've required visors. Some people are grandfathered in, but one of the ways that they kind of get around it is that they tilt their helmet back and it doesn't really affect their vision. But there was a guy, I don't know, a day or two ago on the NHL that basically lost all of his teeth that you can see in his mouth, took one shift off and came back.
Wow. Jesus.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy. Hey, Paul, refresh our memory. You once did a show and the coach of the Blackhawks was there, right? And you formed a nice friendship with him, if I'm not mistaken. Can you share that experience with us again?
Very close. Daryl Sutter was the coach of the Blackhawks. I did a celebrity golf tournament and did a little bit of stand-up. And afterwards, he gave me his phone number and said, yeah, if you want to come to a Hawks game or whatever, which is amazing for Daryl Sutter, who is a notorious curmudgeon.
Oh.
And so I gave him a ring one night and I go, hey, what's going on? He goes, well, we a big Blackhawk fan. We go on the ice in 5 minutes.
You call the coach 5 minutes before the game or whatever, yes. Match.
Yes.
Did you ever follow up on that, though, or did you never call them again, right?
Never called them again.
Fucking idiot. That is.
What if you were like, Paul Martin in a nutshell, that's it.
Yeah. Here's the other opposite of it that I never did. Laird Hamilton gave me his phone number and said, if you ever want to learn how to surf, give me a call.
Oh,
never took him.
Paul, you got to explain to these Philistines
fuck
who
you,
Laird Hamilton
fuck you.
Is, because they mocked me for. I said I have a celebrity sighting, and it was Laird Hamilton, and they all mocked me for saying he was a celebrity. He's
the,
one
thing,
of the
Matt,
most
before,
famous
before
surfers
Paul,
in history.
Before Paul backs you up, I just want to tell you that I thought Laird Hamilton was another comedian who happened to know how to surf. that's what I take away from what he just said.
You still don't know who it is.
The guy
nope.
I saw.
You still even though we talked about this for an hour one week.
I mean, now I do, but before that, no.
He if there were pictures in the dictionary, he would be under alpha male. He's the most famous big wave surfer in the world, married to Gabby Reese, pioneered toe-in surfing. He was the guy that decided to put straps on the surfboard so that you could go faster and get into big waves that otherwise would be impossible to paddle into.
And you didn't call him?
Yeah.
Did not call him.
That's the premise here.
To be fair, I had taken a hit in hockey and I had bruised ribs, and the thought of laying on a surfboard with bruised ribs kind of turned me off to the idea.
By the way, I don't know, this week or maybe I just saw the video for the first time this week. There was somebody broke the record for the highest wave. Oh, I think our friend Richard Blade posted this on Twitter.
Guy that broke it?
No, no. He was saying, I bail if it's over my head. Look at this guy. And I think it was a 150-foot wave, possibly.
Oh,
and
my God.
It gave me, like, my heart started pounding just watching this thing. It just was so amazing.
Was it in Nazare?
I want to say it was Lake Michigan, but I don't know a lot about surfing.
That sounds right. And the surfer, was it Jet the Fish?
That's a, I don't know if our full listenership will appreciate how great that joke is, but I hope they do. If not, Google it.
That's so funny because one of the things I watch almost obsessively on YouTube is big wave surfing. And somehow I miss that.
Huh. Again, maybe it's one that Richard Blade discovered from 17 years ago. I don't know. Right. But I
was
just thought
Kai Lenny.
It was Maya Gabiera.
That's what Never it looks like.
Happened in September.
In September of 2020. And so in the middle of a pandemic, she's out there. Is it? I assume it's a woman, Maya. Mm-hmm.
Brazilian.
A Brazilian, Paul. Does that help you at all?
No. And where did it happen?
Garen, do you have any indication what lake this was on?
Garen can hear Paul, Jimmy.
It was a 73.5 foot wave.
73? Where did I get 150 from?
Wait, Maya rode the wave on February 11th, 2020 in an inaugural WSL Nazar Toe Surfing Challenge event in Praia do Norte, Portugal.
Okay.
And then that's I just wrote about it in September.
That's probably the wave that they call Nazare, which is mind-blowing. Mind-blowing wave, yeah.
Wow.
They measure waves from the back of it to the front of it. They don't measure the face of it. Oh. So the face of the wave might have been 150 feet.
Ah, okay. Paul, what's the biggest wave you... Did you ever surf or was it just bodyboarding for you?
I've surfed a couple of times, but I have trouble getting up. Once I'm on the surfboard, I do okay from all the snowboarding and skateboarding. But getting up when you're starting is really difficult, and especially when you're an older guy. But probably the biggest wave I ever boogie boarded in was in Hawaii. I want to say it was probably maybe a 6-8 foot face, and that tested the limits of my stomach. But
scared the hell out of you.
It was fun. Also, being in Hawaii, it's a very, very territorial place, and white people are certainly not their favorite people to come visit. So I was a little worried about that, but I picked a spot that was a little more public and a little less localized.
When you say you're worried about that, is there fear of being murdered out on the seas?
Fear of getting your ass kicked.
Really?
That's for sure.
Oh, really? You're a dumb old man. Why are they going to beat you up?
Because maybe I dropped in on their wave and they're tired of people coming and
tourists.
Shitting on Hawaiian culture and buying up property and, you know, just being douchebags.
But once you're back on the beach and they see you're some dumpy host from TBS, don't they go, we're not going to bother you. Go about your day. Enjoy your hoagie.
Yeah, but all you had to do, Paul, was just say, no, it's me. It's Paul Gilmartin from Dinner and a Movie. And they're like, oh, hey, you're fine.
Right, you know, beans and cornbread. Right?
There was one day that I was paddling out and just was having the worst. I didn't know it at the time, but I was kind of caught in, I guess, what would be the opposite of a riptide, because a riptide will pull you out into the water, no matter how hard you're paddling to try to get back in. This was kind of the opposite of it. And after about a half hour of trying to paddle out, these two guys just paddled up to me and went, bro, it ain't meant to be.
Oh, damn it. Bro is the makes it the worst.
Oh, the best. That's Paul Gilmartin. He's taking time away from the mental health happy hour, mental illness happy hour. My apologies. There's so many out there now. They're all riding Gilmartin's coattails. He was the first in on this. Mm-hmm. Now they're all trying to do it. They're all trying to hop on the self-help, true crime. They're all got something going on, right?
There was somebody that created a podcast called the Mental Health Happy Hour, and I had to do a cease and desist.
Oh my goodness! Did we talk about that once before? That sounds familiar to me. Because I, or at least I remember the paperwork that came through, because Matt and I tried to do that. We thought that would be a great way to poach some listeners.
Well, we just like you in the 90s, Paul, we were snatching up podcast names. You did it with .coms, and we just did it with the podcast titles. Just figuring at some point everyone will have a podcast, and they're going to have to come to us for the title.
That's right.
That's a good idea, and a great way to put yourself financially in the hole for the rest of your life. Highly recommend it.
I still own 591rock501roll.com. I own both of those, 591rock.com, 501roll.com, assuming that the Loop would come to me at some point. Instead, the Loop closed their doors. So I'm now stuck with those two domain names until those contracts run out.
That's very interesting, Jimmy, that you, I did not know that you own those, and we should talk about that.
Well, if you go to 501 Rock right now, I believe it brings you to nevernotfunny.com, does it not?
I don't know.
Or to Partcast. I may not remember how to forward it, but I think that's what happens.
It does go to Partcast.com.
Yeah.
I would have guessed that it brought you to a snapshot of a funeral.
If I knew how to do that, I would do it. I couldn't believe that I figured out how to forward it to Partcast.com. And again, the fact that I have not forwarded it to nevernotfunny.com tells you how long ago that was. And I might not even know the password to get back into there to do that.
If I may suggest, and this is an off-air conversation, perhaps Jimmy's records and tapes should somehow be connected to that.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, figure that out and let me know how that goes. Tell me what to do, and I'll do it. More than happy to do it. Paul Gilmartin's our guest. Again, he's got the mental illness happy hour where he talks to people about mental illness, and then they also do it for about an hour. It's happy. Right? Is that the premise of the program?
No, that is, Jimmy.
Now, I was on but 10 years ago, right? You've been doing it about 10 years now.
Yeah, started in March of 2011.
Oh, wow. You are right at your 10-year anniversary then.
Yeah.
Are you going to have a big live show because of it? Seems like the best time for it.
Doing nothing for it.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Maybe another one of those polls that you put out?
How dare you?
I enjoy the polls. I can anonymously tell you that I masturbate. So that they're helpful, right? They're helpful for you and your listenership.
We got to have you back on the show.
Oh, why? I haven't discussed
Talk about that. I mean, that's groundbreaking.
Jimmy, is that how you get off, by anonymously admitting you masturbate on online polls?
That's it. Click, glug. That's how I do it. I answer it, then ejaculate. Mm-hmm. And it's great.
Yours makes a glugging sound?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is your penis drinking as it ejaculates?
Yes. My penis is Ted Kennedy.
Your penis has a throat?
and it's red and bulbous.
You know what you think is the Adam's apple? It's probably your testicles.
Oh. Hmm. You know what? I don't know. I've seen a specialist on this. It seems everything seems to be in working order down there. I think it's a throat. Did I yes-and that properly? I may have gone the wrong direction on that.
I was just enjoying that silence.
Fuck off.
That was so beautiful.
Shut up.
I think I heard a bird chirp.
I think, you know what? I don't think you're wrong. I think a bird literally a bird flew by, stopped in the window, noticed the silence, chirped to accentuate it, and then kept flying. You're not wrong.
Just want to make you feel better.
That's the comedy podcast Zoom equivalent of a cricket, is when you hear a bird chirp.
It was, I haven't had silence like that on this show in 15 years. That's how bad that was. The worst. And I'd like to blame Zoom for it, but I can't. I'll blame my mouth and my brain.
Oh, I have not heard silence like that since I did stand up.
Oh boy, you don't have to tell me. Yeah. You do.
People
not
would
have
check
to
out
tell
library
me.
Books when I did stand up, which was kind of nice to know I was educating.
Sure. I don't know why you're doing comedy at the library. Maybe comedy clubs would have been a better venue for you. You can't ice me on that. How the fuck do I get iced twice?
We're not icing. I was enjoying it.
You must be enjoying this, Elliot.
I'm not enjoying it.
All right. Very good.
One more and people are going to think there's a problem with the audio. So, Jimmy, I'm just going to ask you to zip it for a little bit until people regain faith in the audio.
Okay.
Well, maybe if I could explain, I'm only laughing because I'm holding in my laughter because I thought I was trying to think of a library joke the same way you just did. And I didn't want to make you feel bad that we were again on the same comedy
come on,
road
I can't have more
weeks.
Of that happening. It's a month of this bullshit. It's a month. Paul, what you don't know is very much lately, Garen and I are having the same joke. Jimmy Pardo, a hero to many, considered a comedy legend in some circles. Somebody's favorite comedian has the same joke as intern Garen Cockrell. And I'm thinking about quitting comedy because of it.
I think actually what you should do, Jimmy, is you should follow Gallagher's lead, and you should have, you know, Garen get a haircut and all that kind of stuff, and you send him out, you license out the Jimmy Pardo
and he's
experience.
I'm Jimmy
he's too. Pardo too.
If I may, I think there's more qualified people for that. If I may,
just imagine buying a ticket to see Jimmy Pardo and you get there and Garen walks
it's Pardo
out.
Too. But here's the thing, Jimmy. Who is like Gallagher had what it was his brother, right? That was Gallagher too.
Yeah,
was that,
that's
was
correct.
That
yes. Yes.
I mean, your brother isn't going to do that.
No, he's not.
Who else who is qualified to be a comedian is going to want to be Jimmy Pardo too? They're going to want to do their own comedy.
Hey, people don't want to see Jimmy Pardo. I'm not franchising. Yeah,
the demand is not high.
I'm not the Globetrotters that need somebody on each coast. It's oh, Jesus Christ. I'm bleeding.
Oh no.
Whoa.
Wait, what? How did that happen? That is a great way to get out of that topic, though.
Is it the bird?
Is it? What did you? Did you slip and fall on all that ice?
Shut up, ass. This is the weirdest. Why am
that
I bleeding?
I don't know, but do you have something to staunch it with?
Should we take a break while you deal with that?
All right, yeah, let's take a break. This is a good time for a break. We'll come back, we'll do Oliver's trivia question and chat more with Paul Gilmartin. And I'll go in front of a mirror and see if I can't discover where this blood's coming from.
And make sure it isn't coming from anywhere else.
This is craziness. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Hey guys, Matt here with some dates for you. Paul Gilmartin is on Twitter at MentalPod. That refers to his great podcast, The Mental Illness Happy Hour, available wherever you get your podcasts. Download it for some fun chatter about mental health. It's great. And we've told you a million times it's great. And you should listen to us and go listen to that. Enjoy it. And also enjoy Jimmy Pardo. He's on Twitter at Jimmy Pardo. He's doing Jimmy's Records and Tapes every week. You can find that on our YouTube channel. New episodes go up Tuesday. It's youtube.com/nevernotfunny. But if you subscribe and click the bell for notifications, you will find out when new stuff goes up as it happens. That's always exciting to be one of the first to see it. So do that and share it with a friend. Maybe tell someone else who likes classic rock and all that good stuff to check it out. I think they would enjoy it too. Or if you think they would enjoy it, then tell them to enjoy it. Now, enjoy the rest of this show. Enjoy.
Hey, I've said this before, I'm going to say you again. I want you to name some comedy duos who get it done. Remember when I said that before?
You have
I'm
said
saying
that.
It again.
Okay, like Pardo and Belknap.
It's more of a question. Pardo and Belknap is a great one, right? That's a good example. Some may argue Key and Peele, but they've gone off to other things, right? They're,
one guy can't stop scaring me.
Right, that's all he wants to do. And then you got Faye and Poehler, they want me to say.
They're very funny.
And then of course, Setup and Punchline.
Ah, that great team. I think out of Boulder, I believe.
They're out of Boulder, Colorado. That is, by the way, just so that nobody goes, hey, Pardo and Belknap, lame-o, that's the written word. That was not our improvisation about...
I didn't know it was written there. I improvised it, but it turns out it just happens to be.
You saved it with the Boulder thing. Hey, what about the perfect duo when it comes to growing your business? That is you and Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Hey, from the, hey, we should launch our own online shop, to the first real life store, all the way to, did we just hit a million orders? All of those stages, Shopify is there to help you grow. Grow.
No.
Grow. Well, see, that's Jordan Peele scaring me in the middle of this.
Yeah.
Grow. Spooky. Hey, we use Shopify over there for our needs.
I was just in there yesterday, and I got to say, once again, super easy to set up. You can assign, I forget what they call it, and it's not admin, but basically, if you need other people on your team to be able to operate in there, you give them permissions to do whatever they need to do, and they don't have any access to the things you don't want them to have access to. It's just very clean, very clear, straightforward system that I actually enjoy using because it's so well designed.
And it makes getting paid very easy by instantly accepting every type of payment. Shopify will grow with your business no matter how far or big you grow. Matt does all the behind the scenes. I don't, but I see how he doesn't complain to me about it.
No.
I'll tell you that. And other things he does complain about.
I love complaining, so you know it must be good.
Does he? Hey, right now, here's the deal. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/Pardo. That's all lowercase. That's right. Go to Shopify.com/Pardo now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Pardo. Shopify. Hey, a lot of people are saying they're a little tight with the wallet these days. Mm. Luckily, not the Never Not Funny listeners. These people are flush. But sometimes some things come up. Unexpected auto bill, dental. In my case, I had an unexpected dental bill.
Yeah.
You know, my dental insurance is okay, but at the same time, it's not the greatest. And you get something done, you got to pay out of pocket.
What about this? Maybe you have a pet. And suddenly your pet gets sick. You take him to the vet. Oh, my God, this is going to be thousands of dollars
right.
to treat this, whatever the problem is. And that's very unexpected and very unwelcome.
Well, that's where EarnIn comes in, Matt. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, up to $750 per pay period. It's this easy. Download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck, then access up to $100 a day, as I mentioned. And you can leave an optional tip if you want. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. So download EarnIn today. That is spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in Never Not Funny under podcast when you sign up. Now that lets them know who sent you there. You're right. You don't need to be putting other shows in there. Never Not Funny. In fact, across the board on this, guys.
Yeah, even just you could like write it on your screen with a Sharpie if it doesn't have a field for it. Wherever you go on the internet, put Never Not Funny.
You do that under podcast, subject to available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. EarnIn.
Get your money now.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the program. Here's what I think happened, fellas. Here's what it is on the shin. It's a little thing on the shin. I think it's one of those where I may have bumped myself in the middle of the night. It then healed itself. I was like, hey, there's a little scratch, and I may have scratched the scab off and then started bleeding. I wasn't gushing blood, but it was still jarring. To
surprise blood is not good.
No.
Ever, right?
Yeah.
It does seem
Paul
like
Gilmartin is with us. Oh. We're thrilled that he's joining us. One of my I don't like the phrase oldest friends because it could be misunderstood for age. But one of the people I've known the longest in show business, and maybe even longest in my life now at this point, that I still talk to on a regular basis. I will occasionally text somebody from my record store days, but that's not often enough. But a friendship like I have with Paul Gilmartin. So thrilled that he's taking time out of his life to join us here today. Paul, how is the pandemic? We talked to you early on in the pandemic. How's it been other than apparently you're going off and playing hockey? You think it's a hoax?
a full hoax perpetrated by the radical left, Jim.
I sure forget. And Paul, I forget how old you are. Actually, that's not true. I know exactly how old you are. But for the listener, are you close to getting the vaccine? Has your age bracket opened up yet?
I've got to think mine is coming up. I'm 58, so can't be that much longer.
Oh, yeah. You're in the next group. You're in the...
They might delay me, though, because I'm young at heart.
I would love for you to be in line, said CVS. They would, come on, Paul, who are you kidding? You're young at heart. Move along. Love it. Love it.
You still play hockey regularly? Yeah, you're too young. that's a young man's game, so get out of here, buddy.
Paul, where do you stand on the vaccine? Matt Belknap made me laugh the other day by saying that there is a North Korean black market vaccine that is trying to be made, and he would get that one tomorrow if it was open to him.
Yeah.
I also would go into the back alley and have anybody just put the vaccine into my arm and trust them. Where are you at with this? Are you waiting? You going to get it done immediately?
I think I would wait.
Really?
I'm not a big fan of vaccinations in back alleys. Fine with abortions. There. I'll promote an abortion in a back alley.
Would you open for an abortion in a back alley?
I would.
Yeah.
I would. I wouldn't tweet about it. I don't want the social justice warriors coming after me. Yeah. But
you don't need that, Jesus Christ.
I mean, that's the safest place for comedy right now is an outdoor back alley.
Yeah. God knows Twitter's not the safest place for comedy.
I don't think it's for comedy anymore. I think even if you try your three posts in, somebody will explain why your joke doesn't work and how it, you got to think more about the guy that works at Arby's.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, they will either try to tag it or ban you from show business.
Those are the two.
I really worry about the future of satire, especially political satire. The Republican character that I do, I'm afraid to have stuff be on social media for it these days.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're talking about Richard Martin.
Mm. Yeah.
How did he take the election? Is he doing okay?
I actually haven't thought about him since the election. Obviously, since he's a Republican, he would be upset about that. But he's so self-centered, you know, he's just always looking for whatever angle it is. It kind of like Trump, you know, if Trump thought he could make money from losing, he would probably do that. Actually, I think he's driven more by the adoration of people than he is by money.
We talk about Richard Martin or Donald Trump?
Donald Trump.
I see. All right. Because I don't know what does Richard do for a living? I forget what Richard Martin does for a living.
He's a congressman.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. Boy, he's been in there a long time, huh?
A long time, Jim.
Well, his constituents must appreciate what he's doing for him. That's what it sounds like to me. all right. Listen, let's get to Oliver's trivia question. Matt Belknap, please alert the people that that's happening.
Okie dokie. You know what? We have a shortened version of the theme. Let's see if this is, you know, we've been playing this new theme from, not Joe Diffie, God damn it, Nathan Diffie. And you were mocking it for being way, way, way too long. But so he sent us a shortened
is
version.
Is this of the Massachusetts Diffies?
That's right. Yeah. One of the original Mayflower families, the Diffies. let's see. Here it is.
I actually went to the email to see if we have a location on him. We don't.
That's a good question, yeah. I probably have it somewhere, but okay, here we go. This is called Trivia Time Short Version. You decide if that's an apt title for this.
Well, you can tell everybody the place they're best. Just write them down. Don't show them yet. You can win, even if you lose. That's the way we play. It's Jeopardy rules.
Well, it's shorter than the other one, certainly.
Definitely shorter. It takes a
that was impressive.
That said, I love the long version. I'm just, I have to fill fucking 6 hours a week on this thing. So if me making fun of the length of a theme song kills 35 seconds, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I love the long one.
All right. Let's see. Let's play it.
Play it. Paul was so impressed by this. Paul, here's the full version.
Wait, I got to find it.
For the full version.
No, you're going to hear it. This is from Nathan Diffie from Massachusetts.
Well, you can tell everybody the place they're best. Just write them down. Don't show them yet. You can win, even if you lose. That's the way we play. It's Jeopardy rules. You go low, they go high. And if nobody gets it right, you will win the money in the Jeremy Harpool Trivia 10. First Trivia Time. Trivia Time.
All right. I'll tell you who doesn't like the short version, Jeremy Herbel. He doesn't get a shout out to the short version.
Elliot, you should put the lyrics up for that. No, I'm serious because I couldn't understand some of them and I was wondering what they were.
That's actually not a bad idea for the video, but it's probably a lot of inside jokes that you would be confused by anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you could tell, but I don't know what they are. Anyway, thank you, Nathan, for both versions, short and long. Matt will use them at his discretion as time goes on. Here is your subject for this week. Again, this is Oliver, 13-year-old Oliver Pardo writes this. Here's your subject. Fun and games. Fun and games is your subject. Now, Paul, you're betting. You're going to write down your bet anywhere between 1 and 25. Cast members, of course, you guys know that your restrictions. Fun and games. I feel good about this one. Or do I?
I feel like he's done this category before, and it's been easy. It's been hard. It's impossible to know. I mean, Oliver knows a lot about, he loves games. He loves fun. So the deep knowledge comes to bear on this. And
he sounds like a fun loving kid.
Oh, he loves it. He loves fun. He loves everything about it. Now, hang on a second. I can't find I don't know what numbers I've used, and I can't find that piece of paper. What the shit happened here?
Uh-oh. I've got it if you need it.
Have I used 19, Garen? Have I used the Hardcastle?
No, you have not.
Spoiler alert. Wait,
well, I'm not going to use it here either, then, it turns out. What an idiot. I forgot the fucking premise.
You've used 17, 9, and 14.
There
Thank
you go.
Thank you. I've used 17, 9, and 14. Thank you for that help. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I'm in. I've got my bet in. Paul, you have your bet in?
Sure.
All right. Doesn't sound like Paul's taking the game seriously. No, Paul, pretend you're playing hockey and take this seriously.
Okay. Put your face mask on.
Yeah, put your cage on and say, and then use the word cage a few more times. everybody got their bet in?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's your question. Here is your question. Fun and games is your subject. Your question is playing cards. Mm-hmm. Playing cards. Different emphasis on the words. My apologies. Playing cards, which originated in China, were originally meant to represent days and the year. The 12 court cards represented the months, four suits to represent the seasons. But what were the 13 cards per suit supposed to represent? The 12 court cards represented the months. The four suits represented the seasons. But what were the 13 cards per suit supposed to represent?
That's a great question. I've never heard of this. This is new.
That is fun, and it is a game.
I have to imagine that this is a line drive right into Elliot's glove. Is that correct?
Well, I've written something down very quickly, but I'm not 100% certain it's right. I have actually two thoughts, but could it be that?
Oh, third thought. I Garen, answer your question. Yes, line drive right into Elliot's glove.
I'm going to be very embarrassed if I don't at least get close.
Say, can you read it one more time?
More than happy to, Matt. It is playing cards, which originated in China, were originally meant to represent days and the year. The 12 court cards represent the months. Which, by the way, I'm glad we read this, because my answer I was about to write down was months, and proud of it. And proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
The 12 court cards represented the months, four suits to represent the seasons, but what were the 13 cards per suit supposed to represent?
I'll stick with my first thought.
Okay, I have the feeling that it's going to be something so obvious that I'm going to hate myself for the rest of the day.
Join the club.
Join. You are now. You are one of us.
and was that going to be different from the rest of your rest of the day, Paul?
No.
Boy, that is. Boy, what?
I have an answer. Don't love it, but I don't hate it.
Well, I mean,
I'm neutral on my own answer.
Yeah, that's what I can't even come up with. I can come up with only one, but it seems too obvious.
Hey, while you're thinking about it, let me go back to when you guys were talking about the person who broke the record for the surfing the biggest wave. It made me think of just recently someone broke the record. The first someone landed the first 1080 on a skateboard ramp. Did you see that at all? A video of this guy breaking a, so 1080 is three full rotations. I think I remember when Tony Hawk did the first 900. That was, to me, not that long ago. Maybe it was 10 or 15 years ago now. But to do three full rotations on a skateboard ramp is insane. Guess the age of the person who did who landed the first 1080.
This is a three.
Yeah, they just threw him. Actually, it wasn't that hard. They strapped the board to his feet and threw him up there, and it just happened.
I'm going to say, though, based 9 years old is my guess. I'm going to say nine based on the way you delivered the question.
Right. Yeah. You're not far off. It's 11. This 11-year-old kid. When I was 11, I was my big trick was tic-tac.
Which is what? I don't know what that means.
A tic-tac is when you go click, clack, click, clack. Back, like you basically move the front back and forth and it propels you forward.
But you didn't grow up in a skate park. There weren't skate parks in upper New York.
I think I got my first skateboard when I was 11. And
I got my first real six string. I got that at the Five and Dime. So
What year was that?
I want to say summer of 69.
Oh, boy. You must have been eating a pussy that whole summer.
Oh, my man. That's all. That's exactly what that song's about, as my wife divorces me because I brought this up another fucking time.
You know what? I'll take the bullet. I led you to it. It was my fault.
No, it's my fault. I bought my first real six string. So again, this is 100% on me. So, Paul, get your guest room available. Ready? Because I'm moving out.
My first trick on a skateboard was getting a splinter in my head.
In your head?
Wow.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I had one of those. I thought maybe skateboarding was a thing I should learn to do. And I was probably 11 or 12, somewhere in there. And my parents got me like one of those Nerf, like bright magenta Dayglow skateboards. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't very big. And I practiced in the carport up by the garage. And we had these redwood fences. And so the first time I got on the skateboard, I rolled pretty good, could not stop, head in post, splinter in head.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
That was fun. Jeez. I never did it again.
You never skateboarded again?
You know what? It turns out that if a big part of the sport is getting injured, I kind of avoid it.
Yeah.
So no snowboarding, no skiing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you put put elbow pads, knee pads, put a cage on, you'll be fine.
forehead pad.
It's so funny how nobody had the safety equipment when we were kids for skating.
No way.
I didn't think of it.
They made it. They made that stuff, but you know what? I would never saw anybody wearing it.
My parents didn't buy it for me.
Yeah, exactly. I've been teaching Charlie how to skateboard, and it's amazing. Your story just reminded me of how it's amazing how kids don't intuitively know to just get off the skateboard if it's going too fast.
Isn't that funny?
Like, you can just get off of it. Like, just step right off of it, and you're off of it.
Didn't occur to me. Yeah. I felt like this is the thing I'm standing on. I must remain on it.
Yeah, it's weird.
Have you watched any of the videos of the guys going down mountain passes at 70 miles
that's
an hour?
That's a whole wormhole on YouTube, too. I was doing that for a couple of months during the pandemic, just watching those videos. Because there's so many of them.
Without an ounce of protection. And cars coming the opposite way as they fail around corners.
It is sickening. It's so crazy. And the thing I always think of is like, the guy doing it is crazy, and then the guy filming it is also doing it because he's right behind him with a camera, equally crazy. It's so nuts that they don't close the road. It's just like, nah, let's just go down this hill. It's crazy.
You guys want to talk about something else? What happened? why did that just come to a conversation?
I know we were trying to do a tighter episode, so I'm sort of leaving room for you to hey, Garen, let's get your answer or whatever.
All right, well, let's do that then. Let's check in with Garen Cockrell. He's there at the Tri Corners of the Valley, Valley Glen, Van Nuys, and Sherman Oaks at the Never Not Funny Weather Desk, sponsored by PopCultureBeast.com. That is Garen Cockrell. Garen, do you have an answer for this question about playing cards?
I have an answer. I don't know how good it is, but I have one.
All right. Well, what do you got, sir?
My answer is the New Year animals. Like the Chinese New Year animals. I don't know how many there are. I don't know if that's an accurate guess. Lunar New Year animals, I guess.
Or even the right name for what you're talking about.
that's the thing. I don't know what to call them. I feel really...
That makes sense.
When it's my turn, I will tell you what I think those things are called, because that's also my answer.
Oh, is that right? You also went with that. Well, Matt Belknap, go ahead and say it now then.
I think they're the signs of the Chinese Zodiac. Isn't that what they're...
That's... Yeah,
that was my backup answer, but that's not what I came up with.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we agree that Garen muddied that. He got it.
He got it. Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Elliot, what do you have then?
So I went a little bit of a different direction. Even though months are kind of based on the moon, there are, in fact, 13 times that the moon sort of cycles through. So I said cycles of the moon.
Yeah,
moon cycle. I've been followed by a moon cycle. That big song by Van Morrison.
Moon cycle.
I thought that too, Elliot, but I didn't know.
By the way,
that's
a Cat Stevens.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were making a joke about moon dance.
I wish I was, and I could have not corrected myself, and nobody would have been the wiser. But instead, I chose to.
I don't know that song, so Yeah, so Elliot, I was thinking along those lines too, but I'm not smart enough to know that about the moon. So I was like, well, it doesn't make sense. The moon isn't doesn't go into 13 anyway. So I'll go with Zodiac.
Let's check in with Paul Gilmartin. Speaking of the Valley, Paul Gilmartin is up in the Valley, not too far from the Never Not Funny Studios, right there in Sherman Oaks, California. So start Googling that and find him and murder him. Paul, do you have a guess on this playing cards question?
I'm torn between the animals and the signs of the Zodiac.
You can't just pick one of our answers.
Yeah, you're supposed to have your own answer.
Did you write down an answer, Paul? No. Or are you just stealing one of these two?
I couldn't commit.
You have to give an answer of some sort, even if it's a joke answer.
I'm gonna give an answer, and I'm gonna say the New Year animals, or whatever the fuck you call them.
I like the idea of Jeopardy rules, and we're playing on Jeopardy, and one of the people just says whatever that guy said.
Yeah, don't get it.
He told us he didn't hear the lyrics to the theme song, and now we know it's true because the song explains the rules. It's Jeopardy rules.
Also, so did Jimmy Pardo in the break. A lot was explained.
Well, you knew he wasn't going to listen to that.
I know. That's a good point. My answer sucks. I said hours. I said H-O-U-R-S, which makes zero sense. But in my head, I was like, well, maybe it's the 12 hours and then an extra hour for something.
By the way, I don't know how many signs of the Chinese Zodiac are there. Are there 13?
I don't know that either. I think there are 12, but I'm not 100% sure.
Right. That's why it's a bad answer.
I wouldn't commit to that. I could very well be wrong.
I think you're a rooster, Elliot, when it comes down to the, I don't have a clue.
I honestly don't know. It's not, I looked it up once and it's not something that I wanted to remember, whatever it was.
That's based on years, right? It's based on
which year you were born. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Here's your answer then. And again, the winner, other than Gilmartin, he's you're DQ'd. A very rare disqualification in this game. Gilmartin is DQ'd. Look, the little doggy is upset by the DQ.
Yep.
By that, I mean, of course, Paul's going to get an ice cream at Dairy Queen. That's what I mean by this. All right, here is your answer from Oliver Griffin Pardo. The lunar months in a year. Also, the font color of half being red and half being black represent night and day.
Nice.
So the lunar months is basically the same thing as lunar cycle. I think
Elliot got it. Yeah.
That's Elliot. Yeah.
Yeah. Per Garen's guess, a line drive right into the mitt of Elliot Hochberg. Mm-hmm. That's 2 weeks in a row you've got the trivia correct.
Yeah, is that true? I've been doing very well in the past. However time is flowing.
Yeah, did he get it right on 2805? I can't remember.
I don't remember either, to be honest. Thank you for that. Listen, if we're in a pandemic, everything's mushing together.
It's all blends together.
Right.
It's true.
I forgot to write it down too, so that's I'm sorry. I neglected what I was supposed to do. I forgot to write it down.
You know what? We'll get next episode. We'll clarify all this. We'll clean it up.
Absolutely.
Line it all up.
We just don't have time.
All right. Paul Gilmartin's with us for a few more minutes. We got lucky enough to. What'd you bet? Thank you, Elliot.
20.
Nice.
Elliot bet 20.
Oh, that would have beaten me anyway, even if we had both gotten it right.
What did you bet, Matt?
I bet 19, which even before you said it, Jimmy, I had already written it down.
And I bet 18. And Garen?
I bet 18 as well.
18 weird. For Garen. And Paul, who gives a shit because he didn't take the game seriously. How would you like it if a host came on your show and didn't take it seriously? You wouldn't like it. Or if a guest came on, you wouldn't like it, would you?
I would love it.
Seriously?
I would get chills. I loved it so much. And then I'd find out it was COVID and I'd hate it.
Paul, do you still have the office that you go and record at?
No, I record here.
Right there at the house.
Yeah.
So when the pandemic is over and you have guests, you will have guests right there to the house?
Yeah, I've actually had a couple of people during the pandemic.
Wait, what?
You're not taking this seriously.
No,
doesn't sound like it.
were those two guests people you were playing hockey with and you just talked to them while you played?
But the show is going well, Paul. People are still enjoying. Yeah. Enjoy seems like a weird thing to say about your show.
Well, people, I think, find comfort and camaraderie in it, because one of the things when you're really suffering is you feel alone and you think nobody understands. So I think people do enjoy it. I think there are also people that kind of get a vicarious thrill out of, you know, much the way people like crime dramas or other stuff of a dark nature. So, yeah, I think people do enjoy it, but for some people, I think it also gets a little heavy and they got to take a break or fast forward or whatever. I mean, I find that sometimes that I'll have a little dread around the darkness of it, but it's also the reason why I've created some surveys that are on the lighter side, because it helps kind of offset it.
I love those surveys. You know, you know what? Here's the truth. I love any survey. I love a fucking survey. I'm a fan of surveys.
Have you ever thought about taking those surveys and turning it into a mental health Family Feud game show?
Oh, that's not a bad
oh,
idea.
Oh, wow. How many have you done?
How many episodes?
How many surveys? Yeah.
I've got about 13 different surveys.
All right.
So how many episodes is that, guys? That would be four episodes?
One or two. Well, I guess maybe it could be four, yeah.
Because you do the three rounds. So yeah. We can get three episodes. Yeah, let's do it. All right, I'm in. All right, there we go. So
A mental feud.
So just like Paul stole your answers for Oliver's trivia, we've stolen his show and his surveys, and we're going to create a game show on it. This is great. This has been a good show, guys.
Yeah. We can use that URL that he tried to get away from you as well. That'll set it all up.
Sorry. Yeah, you know what? This is all working out great. This is a great appearance by Paul Gilmartin today. We're all winners.
You know, I am actually very hopeful for the day that they ask us to do an episode of Family Feud. Like the Karen. Celebrity Family Feud. They had Disney moms on, for crying out loud. They could have us. That would be amazing.
Garen, you can go to bed at night knowing that that's never going to happen.
I'm going to hold on to that hope.
Cross that off your
bucket. But that being said, who would, because there's five for Family Feud, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So who's our fifth? Danielle?
I would bring Danielle Koenig.
Mm-hmm.
Or Oliver Griffin Pardo.
Yeah.
Because
I think that'd be really
because
cool.
God forbid a woman get a job on television.
You know what? She's out. The way she threatens to leave me every single time I bring up another tattoo, she's out on this.
Yeah.
She's also right about the tattoo, by the way.
What if she went with you? You guys both got one.
She doesn't want one. She went with me to get the first one, and she's never felt like a bigger piece of white trash than breastfeeding the baby in a car while I got a tattoo.
I forgot about that.
I don't know why I thought, when I got my first tattoo, I don't know why I thought it would be you walk in and a half hour later you walk out with a tattoo. I don't know why I didn't understand that it takes hours to do, and I just didn't understand it. But
Now, refresh my memory, your tattoo says bad decision?
I got bad on one arm and decision on the other. Yeah, so you have to see me at the beach in order to understand why I have it. Yeah. If you just see me one arm, you think I'm a big Michael Jackson fan.
Or and decision.
You still go to Muscle Beach, right?
When you got ink like I do, yes, you want to show it off, of course.
Do you sometimes look back on the days of getting sand kicked in your face and think, now I'm the strongest guy on the beach?
Paul, I very luckily subscribed to something in the back of Grit magazine once that I was able to get the courage and the strength to fight back.
And do you owe that to Charles Atlas?
I don't owe a lot of things to Charles Atlas except this one thing, yes.
And did he shrug? I couldn't stop myself.
I could not.
Like it.
Oh, the great Ayn Rand, which every high school kid that reads it thinks they're fucking smarter than everybody else.
And then some of them become senators.
Right?
Yeah. All of them become assholes.
Oh, insufferable. Although I did like the Fountainhead, but I think maybe that was because I thought I was getting one over on people.
I enjoy the Fountainhead when I don't want to go on Santa Monica or Sunset.
Sure. Wow.
That's a local road reference from Paul Gilmartin. Yeah.
Time lights. No. All right. Is that just making up for my enjoying the earlier icings? Is that why this is so long?
Gotta do it.
That was a
joke. At this point,
I don't get it. Check out the walls and remember who the boss is.
Iced by Jimmy. You're getting iced by Jimmy.
still doing his fucking mime, though.
I know. He can't fucking help himself.
Dancing!
You're not supposed to enjoy this.
You're not dancing. You're getting iced. You're supposed to be humble and look at your fucking shoe tops.
As has been established in the past, it is an enjoyable song, and it's hard not to.
It's a great song. There's no question. Yeah. All right. Paul Gilmartin's been our guest. We're through. What, Garen? I'm trying to fucking end the show.
I know. That's why I was just going to say the Shoe Tops are a great doo-wop band. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of them.
Glad to go back to
end
it.
End this.
I tried. I could have saved you. I could have saved you from that.
You could have saved me.
I enjoyed it, Garen. I think it was a great joke.
I actually don't. I agree. I thought it was a great joke, too. If it wasn't stepping on closing the show, I would have laughed at it as opposed to pretending to be angry at it. All right. Listen, Paul Gilmartin's been our guest. Listen to his podcast, The Mental Illness Happy Hour. It's terrific. Paul's terrific. Honored that he's my friend. Proud that he's my buddy. And thrilled that he took time out of his day to join us here today, other than spitting in other hockey players' faces during a pandemic. Paul, thanks for being here.
Love it, guys, as always.
Don't run away. We'll say goodbye to you off the air. On behalf, is there any business I need to tell? I think we're covered, right? Anything else? All right, yeah. You guys know the drill. Listen, put your mask on, quit fucking around. On behalf of the Pop Culture Beast, that's Garen Cockrell. In Palms, California, that's the Lazy Skeptic, Ellie Hopeberg. Holding down the fort at Never Not Funny Headquarters, that is Matt Belknap. And our great friend, also in Sherman Oaks, that is my buddy Paul Gilmartin. I am Jimmy Pardo. We'll see you next time on the podcast. AK-47, Gone, Not Forgotten.
Love Never Not Funny? For 2 bonus episodes a week and video of every episode, plus bonus perks, sign up for a platinum subscription at nevernotfunny.com. Never Not Funny is executive produced by Jimmy Pardo and Matt Belknap. Video production by Elliot Hochberg. Production assistance by Garen Cockrell. Music by Daver and Watch It Burn. Copyright 2021 Never Not Funny, LLC.